You'll find information on how to support us at the end of this podcast. Now, this is the fourth in the series of my testimony, and we're going to basically recap everything. First and foremost, you don't have to pray in tongues for 4 or 5 hours a day. You have to pray in tongues to get you into the place that God wants you to be. And if that's 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day, half an hour, 2 hours, that's between you and God. That's what you do to get what God wants to give you. He'll bring you to a place and he'll tell you that you need to pray in tongues more. But first you need to hear God. First you need to distinguish between his voice and your own imaginations. And the only way you can do that is pray in tongues for extended periods of time. Get everything out the way. Get all the voices out the way, all of the chatter. Get all of the static, and then you can hear God clearly. And that really does help, really does, I'll tell you. So basically, the simple thing is that you need to pray in tongues, read your Bible, meditate on the word that you read. You need to learn to worship effectively. And the Bible says that the true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth, for God is a spirit. He seeks such to worship him. So how do people worship in the spirit and in truth? Well, they get a revelation from God by reading the word of God, and they meditate on it, and they understand. Then when they start worshiping, the Holy Spirit starts using those revelations and inspires you through the Holy Spirit, not through your intelligence, not through a whole lot of scriptures you've learnt pervadum that you can just pull out. No, it has to be inspired worship, and inspired worship comes from the Holy Spirit. So if you pray in tongues, it inspires you. If you read the Bible, it inspires you. If you meditate on the word that you've read, that inspires you. But predominantly, speaking in tongues really, really does help. If you try it, you'll be amazed. Matter of fact, if you get anybody sitting down and praying in tongues, no matter how bad their spiritual walk is, no matter how banged up they are, how much in the ditch, if you get them praying in tongues for 5, 10, 15, maybe 20 minutes, half an hour a day, they will start to come alive very quickly. They will start to shine. They will start to get inspirational thoughts from God, and they'll start to be excited about things. And I've seen it happen over and over and over again. Now, the Holy Spirit was sent to us by Jesus that we could profit, so that we could know him, so that he could administrate the gifts. So he's the administrator of the spiritual gifts, and he directs us. Now, here's another thing. Speaking in tongues is from God. It's not from the enemy. Okay, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, "Now, brethren, concerning the spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant. No man can speak by the Spirit and say Jesus is a curse." So nobody speaking under the influence of the Holy Spirit can say Jesus is a curse, either in English or speaking in tongues. And then it says, no man can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit, which means you have to have the Holy Spirit. So if you haven't got the Holy Spirit, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. It's pretty self-explanatory. Matter of fact, in the Amplified Version, it says you're not a Christian at all. So if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are not a Christian at all. Okay, so the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that he speaks under the influence of the Spirit can't call Jesus a curse. It doesn't happen. The Bible also says that you can't call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So these are important things to understand. I got tired of being just a nominal Christian. I saw people get filled with the Holy Spirit. I saw people get healed here and there. Not very often, but I saw it. And I got tired of it. So I went home and I just prayed in tongues for 5 hours a day. And, you know, I just did what the Bible said. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek God with all your heart. And I just did that. I just prayed in tongues for 5 hours a day. That was the way I thought would be the best, most effective. And it was. Over the past 33 years, the last 8 years have been supercharged in the Spirit. When I go into a place, the Holy Spirit moves over me and I see miracles. And it's like just like turning a tap on. It's that easy now. When I go into a group of people, I look at them and I drop into the Spirit and the Holy Spirit tells me about them individually. He says, don't go near that person. Go to that person. That person needs this spoken to them and that person needs this spoken to them. And I do that and they always say, that's amazing. How did you know this stuff? Their words of knowledge come from the Holy Spirit because I sat down and prayed in tongues. I built myself up on my most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, and I kept myself in the love of God. It's pretty simple. You know, if you want to revival, if you want to see signs and miracles in your church, you want to see great revival and the move of the Spirit, I've been to lots and lots of churches where they say, we want a great revival. We want a great move of the Spirit. We're praying for the great move of the Spirit. We want to see healings and miracles. And I turn up and say, well, this is what I do. I pray in tongues and I got filled with the Holy Spirit and to overflowing, and we pray for all of these people and they get healed and blah blah blah, and we just tell them basically what we've done, and they shy away from it. A lot of them shy away because they don't really want revival. They're religious in their heart. You know, the Bible says they have a form of godliness but deny the power. From such turn away. There are a lot of Christians that say the right things. There's a lot of pastors that say the right things. We're praying for a move of God. We've been praying for 2 years for a move of God. When the Spirit starts moving, they shut it down. When things start happening, they can't control it, they shut it down because they're control freaks. I tell people, get out of the way of God. Get out of his way. You pray for things, and he turns up and starts moving in your midst, and you start controlling things, he will move away. You will dry up all of the things you've been praying for. Get out the way. Let the Holy Spirit move through you and see what God can do. He can do marvelous things. He doesn't need you much. All he needs you is to say yes. When the Lord moves on you, and the Lord moves through a group of people, right, all they have to do is say yes. God will give them the information. He'll give them the understanding of what they're supposed to do, who they're supposed to pray for, what they're supposed to say. All of these things will come from God. You don't need much except your ability to say yes. Your ability to choose Jesus. Your ability to follow the Spirit. The Spirit doesn't follow you. You follow the Spirit. You are led by the Spirit. You don't lead the Holy Spirit. He leads you. And he knows exactly what you really need. His job is to bring revival. His job is to separate men from sin. He convicts men from sin. He convicts them of sin. So when, you know, you start praying, you start to feel convicted because you're not completely right with God yourself. God will straighten you up first, then he'll send you to straighten other people up. That's always been the formula. But a lot of people can't handle the first part. They don't like to be straightened up by the Holy Spirit. They don't like to be convicted of their indiscretions, even if they didn't know they had them. They don't like that because they're proud. And also, it's hard work to deal with your own problems as opposed to pointing the finger at everybody else. So if you are willing to get into the hot area with God, and let him shine a torch on you. And if you will trust him, he will gently take away and destroy all of the indiscretions, all of the sin, all of the unbelief, all of the wrong thinking, all of the wrong doctrine, all of the wrong attitudes, all of the pride, all of the self-will. He'll do that for you, and he'll do it nicely. He won't go around ripping and tearing. He's gentle. When you oppose God, that's when you start things start happening not too nice. That's when he chastises you. But you know, the best thing is to just say, yes, Lord, I want you to transform my life. Lord, I want to be acceptable in you so that I can do your work, not according to my own agenda, my own ideas, my own will, but I want to do your will. I want to do your perfect will. I want to get a great reward from you. I want you to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. You know, we can be very unfaithful to God when we have our own version of Christianity. We have our own agenda of what we think God wants, and we don't take the time to listen to him. I say to people, they say, I don't know what to do. I don't know who I am. I don't know what I'm supposed to do in God. I say, it's very simple. Sit down, pray in tongues, rest in God, and he will show you what he wants you to do. And then when he shows you, he will empower you. Now that might take 3 months, 6 months, a couple of years of praying away. You might have a lot of stuff to get out of the way. He may use you in the first 3 months, and then he'll use you a little bit, and then you'll pray in the Holy Spirit for another 3 months, and then he'll move you into another bigger bit, and then another 3 months will go by, and you'll move in, and progressively you'll move up and up and up into the things of God. 2 years go by and you'll be amazed of what you're doing. You know, we pray for people. That's one of the wonderful things that the Lord has given us, is he's given us the ability to put what we have into other people. So people are in the ditch, and what we do is we pray over them. We get rid of all the weight that's over them, all the confusion. We get rid of all of the false ideas, and they just seem to brighten up real fast. And then they start praying, and all of a sudden miracles start happening very quickly, and they're amazed. And then they need to understand how everything works. So we get them praying, we get them working on themselves first, and then they start walking in miracles. And then they start working on themselves, and they start walking in bigger miracles or bigger healings, or wisdom and knowledge and understanding starts coming out of their mouth, and they are able to help other people. They're able to show other people the way they entered in. You know, you've got to be thinking sort of long and hard about it. If a church has been praying and praying for years and years and nothing's happened, something's wrong, don't you think? Yeah, I mean, it doesn't take a church 5 years of praying with prayer groups and whatever else they do for something to happen. You know, you can get things going in a week. You can get things going in a couple of months. If I had a church that would fully give themselves over to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, they could have things going really fast within a couple of weeks. And things would start moving through the church. People would start to get healed inside and outside. They would start, all of their crazy thinking would start to be broken up. And they would start to become a real functioning body of Christ, which thinks and operates wholly. That's worth everything. You know, in entering into the presence of God, that's another thing, is worship. You know, when you worship, that transforms you from the ground up. When you worship, everything changes from inside. When you pray in tongues, you get revelation of who you are and what God wants you to do. But worship super empowers you. Worship, it really turns on the juice, and it envelops you in his glory, and you're able to operate through that place, that intimacy with God. And wherever you go, the glory follows you. It's just amazing. You know, you need to read the Bible. the best way I find is, I've studied the Bible manually, but a lot of the time I'll just sit down and put my headphones on and listen to all of the New Testament letters or the Gospels, and I'll pray in tongues and I'll listen to them. Do you know, when you're praying in tongues, you don't have to think about what you're praying, what you're saying, because the Bible says your understanding is unfruitful. So you might as well be thinking about other things. You can do that. Because when you pray in tongues, another part of your brain is operating. Matter of fact, when you speak English and when you think, you basically think in English. So you conceptualize in English. And when you speak your conceived thoughts. So you think in English, conceptualize in English, you speak in English, okay? And that comes from a different part of your brain. You know, scientists have put people into MRI machines, I think they are, magnetic resonance machines, and they've looked at their brain activity, and they've got them to think about things and say things, and then they've got them to pray in tongues, and lo and behold, another part of their brain was active. So you'd think that they would be using their language part, but they're not. So you can pray in tongues and think of other things. You, in your language, right, you can't recite something that you know and then think of something else. You can't think of something, right, and then speak something else. You can't do it. You get all muddled up because you can't do that. You can't recite a poem and then think of something else. It just, you get bogged down. But you can pray in tongues and you can think about everything else clearly without any hindrance, because the two are separate. The two operate separately. Okay? So when you speak in tongues and you're praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit uses a separate part of your brain to use that language. But you can think. Now, obviously, nobody can pray in tongues and speak in English at the same time. That's in trying to, you know, two people trying to inhabit the same space. It doesn't work. I mean, it's impossible to speak in tongues and speak in English at the same time. It just, you just can't do it, right? It's like trying to drive on two sides of the road. You can't do it. Okay, but you can pray in tongues and you can think and conceptualize and you can listen to something and you can think about it as you're listening to the Gospels on the head, an MP3, an audio Bible, and you can put your headphones on, start praying in tongues. You know, when I pray in tongues, sometimes if I'm reading, I stop praying in tongues and I just keep reading. My wife Donna, she says to me, "What are you doing? You forgot. You stop praying," because when I pray in tongues, when I read, I mutter. So when I read, I read what I'm reading. I sort of whisper it out in my head. I whisper it and I read it. Okay, I'm one of those people. Some people just read and they don't whisper, they don't mutter, they don't whatever, use their lips. Okay, so my wife, she can read and pray in tongues, but I can't read and mutter or speak or whisper the words that I'm reading and pray in tongues. One's got to go. And if I'm thinking about what I'm doing, it seems to be that speaking in tongues seems to stop. So I've got to stop and start praying in tongues. And I don't usually read much. I just sit there and stare into space. I listen to MP3 on the Bible, or I just when I'm driving my car, I pray in tongues. When I'm walking down the road, I pray in tongues. You can pray in tongues anytime you want. Okay, you know, there are churches that say you can only pray in tongues when the Holy Spirit moves on you. That is rubbish. Their understanding is limited because there are separate types of speaking in tongues. There's speaking in tongues for edification. That's just when you just speak in tongues, you edify yourself. There's speaking in tongues for interpretation. Now, you can't do that one. You can't speak in tongues for interpretation whenever you want. That is organized by the Holy Spirit. Right? He is the administrator of all the gifts. But there's one gift that he has given you that you can do anytime you want, whenever you want, one part of the diversity of tongues, one part of the different types of tongues, and that is speaking in tongues for edification. You can do that anytime you want, but you can't speak in tongues for interpretation. You can't speak in tongues for intercession, which is another different type of speaking in tongues. They come and they are orchestrated, they're organized by the Holy Spirit. So you're speaking in tongues for edification. You can do it all day, as long as you want, anytime you want. You can do that. It's for your own personal use. Okay? Speaking in tongues for edification is what you do mostly when you speak in tongues. So anybody tells you that you can only speak in tongues and the Spirit moves you, they don't understand the administration of the Holy Spirit. They don't understand the working of the Holy Spirit. They're limited in their doctrine. Somebody's either told them that and they've taken up that idea, and then they've limited themselves because of unbelief. But anybody can speak in tongues for as long as they want. And when you start speaking in tongues, that is speaking in tongues for edification. Okay? You know, the Bible says that in Acts chapter 9, when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on, they began to speak in tongues and magnify God. Or in prophesy. We don't know what they actually said. Maybe they spoke in tongues. They went, wow, God's fantastic. This is magnificent. You know, maybe they spoke in tongues, and then all of a sudden they switched to speaking in tongues for interpretation, and they started speaking the interpretation in English of what they actually said. We don't know. But I do know that after speaking in tongues for hours and hours and hours, thousands and thousands and thousands of hours over the past 33 years, and studying it and thinking about what I'm doing and just, you know, not doing things mindlessly, but being aware, self-aware of what's happening. I've studied all of this stuff. As I've prayed in tongues, I've studied all of this stuff. As I walk in words of knowledge and prophetic, I start prophesying. And when the anointing comes over me and I start praying for people and everything turns up, the kingdom of God turns up, I study it. Here's an interesting thing. When you operate in the spiritual realm and the Spirit is giving you inspired words to speak to somebody, you can think of other things because they're separate. It seems like the Holy Spirit doesn't need to use your language. He uses your language, but he doesn't use that part of the brain. So, you know, when you're in the anointing or when you're praying for somebody, you can pray and you can be inspired and the words come out and they come from the Holy Spirit, but you can just about nearly stand back and listen to what you're saying because it's separate. It does not, those things don't come from your natural thinking. They bypass your natural thinking, your natural understanding. And so a lot of the time, you know, the anointing will come over me and I'll go, oh, okay, the anointing's come over me. And I can just about nearly be a spectator on the whole thing. I can watch it all happen before my very eyes. And the inspirational words that I speak out, I go, oh, that's amazing. I never thought of that, because it's coming from the Holy Spirit. So that's an amazing thing. What I found is when the spirit and the natural mind, they don't mix together. So when you are speaking under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you'll never call Jesus a curse. You can do it in your natural mind. You can do it under your own breath. You can do it under your own thinking. Anybody can do that. But you can't be inspired by the Holy Spirit and say Jesus is a curse. You can't do it. Either speaking in tongues or in English when you're inspired to speak on things. So we know that if a person starts speaking things that are not according to the Word of God, they're not being inspired by the Holy Spirit. If they're speaking things that are slightly off, they're not being inspired by the Holy Spirit. They're stepping into their vast knowledge of understanding, worldly knowledge, and biblical knowledge that isn't truly correct. But if you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit will straighten all of these things up. Okay, so we'll just leave it there. So if you'd like to help us out at Clear Vision Revival, just go to the bottom of the page and click on support. It'd be greatly appreciated.